Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for the gift that you have given him and his ability to communicate. I thank you that he captivates people as he speaks. And I ask, Lord, that your words would just flow out of him. You've given him a message. You've given him a passion to spread that message. So I ask, Lord, that you'll just be 100% in this sermon this morning, that you would open our hearts to really hear and understand what you are saying to us through Scott today. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome here. We ask that you'd fill this man up right to the top, Lord, that he would just be overflowing with you. Amen.
So why go to church?
To hold babies.
I'm going to ask later. You think about that, okay? If you want to get involved, think about it, and I'll come to you guys tomorrow. So this can be a bit... people can get quite angry about this subject, why go to church, and people tell them why they should go to church. But that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to just explain what the benefits are, kind of thing. So I thought, because it's can be quite a touchy subject, I'll start with a joke to kind of break you in. So a mother went to wake her son for church one Sunday morning. When she knocked on his door, he said, "I'm not going." "Why not?" asked his mother. "I'll give you two good reasons," he said. One, they don't like me, and two, I don't like them." His mother replied, "I'll give you two good reasons why you will go to church. One, you're 47 years old, and two, you're the pastor." Cool. Everyone's happy? Good. Now I'll offend people. No, I won't. So it might not make sense necessarily, me talking to you why we should go to church, why you're all at church, because kind of the battle's already won, maybe. I don't know. But I think it's important to know why we really do go to church. You know, some people wake up on a Sunday morning and think, "Nah, maybe I won't go to church today." I recorded Made in Chelsea, Lydia. Which is okay. It's okay not to go to church every now and then. It's okay to wake up and think not. But then a week can turn into a month, or it can turn into a term, or it could turn into a year. And you can lead yourself into a dangerous cycle. Stop caring about the baby, Helen. Eyes on me. Come on. And I'm sure we've all got that one Christian friend that doesn't go to church but says, "Yeah, I'm a Christian because I know everything there is to know about God. I know everything there is to know about the Bible. I know everything there is to know about Christianity, apparently, but never goes to church, never meets in small groups, never has any fellowship, who is what I like to call an isolated Christian. They're Christian by themselves. They might have some Christian friends, but they don't talk about God as such." So, yeah, I kind of wanted to break down the important parts of going to church and what it means and the difference between going and not going. So I think to work out why we go to church, the most important thing is to work out why we go to church already. Cheryl, why do you go to church? Yay! Megan, why do you go to church? Yay! Anybody else want to get involved? This is bacon rolls. People. It's a good one. I'll come to that. Any more? You're like in charge of leading us. Okay, we'll pray for you later. If anyone wants prayer for Helen later, go to the back. Because you're and you're 47, yeah. Oh, I nearly had a joke about that. I wish I bought it. So there's tons of reasons. Bacon to help set up, because you like the sermons, because you're the pastor. So lots of reasons to go to church, but I think the main reason I could find is for the Fellowship of the Ring. No, for fellowship. Hey, why not? Everyone needs Gandalf in their life every now and then. So the dictionary says, community of interest, activity, feeling, or an experience, and the company of equals or friends. So essentially, fellowship is meeting together on the same level. You know, for the same reason. And in our instance as Christians, it's coming together to meet with God, to get to know more about God. We all want to know more about God, so we come on that level. So Lydia's been reading this book. I did nearly say I was reading this book, but no one would believe that I've ever read a book. And he explains kind of the foundation of fellowship. I'm not going to read it all because I hate reading. I'm going to read a little bit. But he explains the foundation, kind of the world and the model that we've got to look up to, and the foundation of us. So it says, oh no, I'll put it back. Where do you want it? I'll put it there. Who cares? The first time God shows up in the Bible, it's plural. When we were created and moulded by the very hands of our Creator, it says, let us make man in our image. Let us. It's not talking plural. So, I thought I'd get dogs in. So, making you in your own image. Hey. Is everyone sitting down? Bam. God made us in his image. So if God looks a bit of a mongrel of all of us, I'm sure he's pretty. So anyways, so he makes us in our own image. However, do I need to give you a minute? However, there is a Helen, you make me laugh. There is a communal aspect to the nature of God. There's three persons, but one God. It's as if there is this dance going on between the Father and the Spirit and the Son for all eternity. The rhythm of service and self-giving love continues for all time. And out of that love and community was the creation of us. And so the beautiful truth is that since we are created by a community, we were created for community. If we are made in God's image, and God is a community, then that means we are rejecting our humanness when we live isolated and alone. That's fundamental to what it means to be human. That is intimacy. Which I think is quite good. So the model we have to look up to as Christians is a community. It's the Holy Trinity. It's three in one. It's not God by himself. That verse doesn't say, let me make man. It's let us. It's talking as a community. So even before church, there was a community. Even before Jesus, there was a community. Even before man, there was a community. And that was a fellowship of God. And then later on, Jesus had a constant fellowship with at least 12 people. And it isn't something really to overlook that Jesus was in constant fellowship. You know, they ministered to each other and together. They shared meals together. They shared their walk together. They shared their testimony and their lives together. So that's the model we have as for fellowship directly from God. So what does that say about going to church? That's just being part of something and being with people and not by yourself, not being lonely, not sitting at home playing Xbox by yourself all the time. So we go to church for the fellowship. That's why we go to church. We come here on Sunday to be a part of a steady fellowship, a fellowship we can rely on. We know there is going to be fellowship on Sunday. It's the one part of the week that we know there's going to be some form of fellowship. We're also the body of Christ. All across the Bible, you'll see references to being part of the body of Christ. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So the body is the church. The body of Christ is the church. You know, we all fulfill different roles. Some teach, some sing, some pray, some comfort. Some come and set up. Some hold babies. We all have different roles. But we all together make one body. Now, you can't be every part of the body. And if you're isolated, how can you benefit from the other parts of the body? Ephesians 4:9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fail, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up again. If two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. So how can you look after yourself if you're alone, if you're not part of the body of Christ, if you're not part of the church? Trying to use one part of your body for everything is impossible to function. You can't do it. And this is the same with being a Christian outside of a church community. So imagine you're an elbow. Okay, I'm sure you've all done it. Imagine you're an elbow. Right. You're thinking, well, what? No, imagine you're an elbow. So you close your eyes, imagine you're an elbow, okay? Just sitting there, you're part of an arm at the minute, that's all great. You're thinking, that's no good, I don't want to be an elbow. Can't I be something great like the mouth? Yes, I'm the mouth, what? It's not a comedy show. But the elbow is key to life. You make moves. You hold the arm together. You say do something and the arm moves. You are important as an elbow. You're not all elbows, but if you are an elbow, and that is you, you're important. We need an elbow in this church. Now, that's a good thing to be. But now imagine you're an elbow without the rest of the arm. You can't do anything. You are rubbish. You're looking at me like, what? Can I have you two? I'm going to demonstrate the importance of an elbow. You might want to stand where they can see you. Now imagine life like this, just here so people can see you. Have a hug. Right, okay. Now imagine life without hugs. Hug without elbows. That is why you need elbows, you know? Thank you. Give them a clap, come on. That is why we need elbows in this church. I want a hug now. Okay. It's the same as not being a church in some way, not coming to church in some ways, being an elbow about the rest of the body. If you're an elbow in a church, I've said elbow way too much. If you're an elbow in a church, okay, that's important because you can make things happen. You can make the moves. You know, you can come up with these ideas and try and do great things. But without the rest of the arm, without the hands, without the forearm, without the biceps, you know, you can't make things happen. You can't actually put any of that into action. You need to be part of that whole extension. You need to be part of something. If you're alone and you're an elbow, you can come up with these great ideas, but you can't actually do anything, really. And if you're alone and you're a mouth, you just talk to yourself, but you can't hear what you're saying. Well, that's good. I like that. I didn't write that down, but that's great. So I don't even know where I'm at now. So this is assuming you're a Christian, okay? But you don't just go to church, you know, or partake in any fellowship with any Christians because you're okay by yourself. It's also good if that's not you and you are already at church every week. You know, you might be at church every week. You might be an elbow at church every week. That's great. You know, like quite a lot of us are here because we all know someone like that. We all know someone that is a Christian that's at home by themselves, not having any fellowship, has this great talent or something to give and something to offer, but they don't know. So, you know, I'd encourage you to speak to that person and kind of tell them about the elbow. Maybe they'll come to church. You know, it's good to, or do it in baby steps. Maybe invite them to a Bible or something, study or something. The Acts 2 says this. Acts 2:42. If you do take notes, none of you do. It's great. I like it. I don't take notes. I just listen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. It first shows that when people were baptised into the Spirit, into Christianity, that they didn't just go off by themselves and stay by themselves. You know, back here, people were added to their number. They join the ministry and become part of that body. So fellowship is important. It's important to be involved. So put it like this, okay? It's like getting married with none of your friends there. It's just a private affair, which is great. Some people like that. It's fine. I'm not saying that's bad. But then he says this to you. I don't want to meet any of your friends and family, by the way. I found speech bubbles in PowerPoint. I was very excited. Thought I was going to use them. So I don't want to meet your friends and family. Just me and you is great. And she says, what? Not even on birthdays? You know, so when they come over, the friends and family come in the house, you make sure you're not there. You don't want a part of it. So you just say, nah, nope. Yeah, like you're not as excited about that side as I was. Yeah, he's speech bubble. Thank you, Ellen. Appreciate that. Why would you want to do that? Why would you not want to see all the people in their life? If you don't meet their friends, if you don't meet their family, you don't hear the stories, you don't see the embarrassing baby pictures, and you have no ammunition of their past for when you have arguments. No? Okay. So you don't know anything about them. You don't hear anything about them. You don't get to know what type of friends they have, what kind of family they have. You miss out on half of it. Yes, you can have a relationship. Is it the full relationship? Have you got it to your full capability? The answer is no, really. And it's like that being a Christian outside of church, outside of fellowship. Yes, you can be a Christian and have that relationship with God, just as intimate as anybody in this church. But you don't get a full package. You just don't. In the Bible, there are very few verses, if any, and the Rebbe tell me if I'm wrong, very few verses, if any, where God says to someone, you, Danny, I'll pick Danny because I don't think God speaks to a person called Danny in the Bible, so you can't be wrong. Danny, I'm God by the way, Danny, go and do this for yourself. God doesn't say it. Very rare does God tell someone to do something for themselves, to benefit themselves and not benefit others. If he does, it's equipping them to do something in the future, you know. It's mainly, most of the stories you read are about expanding the church, expanding the fellowship. You know, you can't do that. God doesn't tell people to do something for you and then keep that to yourself and keep it all bottled up. So it's important. And likewise, you'll become more uplifted through a church. And I say it all the time, you can't learn the good things God has done if you don't talk to people. You know, if you don't meet her family, you don't hear the stories. If you don't come to church and you're a Christian, you don't hear the stories of what God's done. You don't hear anybody's testimony. You don't get strengthened in the place you need to be strengthened because you don't think anyone's gone through it. You don't hear the good stories that he's done. You just have what he's done for you, which is a great shame. You don't hear anything, any of the glory of God. And you might think, oh, they've got something I really want. I want to know God like that. But you never get to know that. Because you're by yourself, you're isolated. I'm not saying that because you don't go to church, you can't be a Christian. I'm not saying that at all. You know, there are some circumstances when you can't go to church. Some people in hospital, they can't go to church. Does that make them not a Christian? You know, there's some people in countries where they'd be killed if they went to church. Does that make them not a Christian? You know, and there's lots of verses in the Bible that say things about this, but there's one in particular which really shows that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, and it's summed up really with one picture. That sums up that you don't have to go to church because to be a Christian. You're probably thinking, yeah, I know God died on the cross, so everything's okay. He forgives me for my sins, I can be a Christian no matter what. That's not what I'm trying to say. If you notice, there's not one cross there, there's three. There's three crosses up there. In Luke 23:39 it says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered to him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This man didn't go to church. This man had done some really bad things in his life. He's on the cross. But Jesus said, yeah, you're a Christian. You'll be with me in heaven. This picture shows that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Hold on a minute, Scott. You're kind of unraveling everything you say. Bear with me. Hang in there. Think of the elbows. Okay, that's great. So the real question here is, if I can be a Christian and go to heaven without going to church, why do I bother? I don't know. Or even more, why do I go to church on a Sunday in particular when I have fellowship during the week? When I was very much in my infancy of my faith and my knowledge of God, and I was going through a really tough time, I wasn't really a Christian as such. I had one really, what's the worst word I can say at church? Bad week, I'll go with that. It was terrible. I mean, I won't go into details, but it was not a nice week for me. No, I was in a bad place. And Sunday morning come, I thought, I'm not going to church this morning. I thought, no, I need to, because I need to speak to this person. They didn't know what had gone on. They didn't know I was going to church. They didn't know I wanted to speak to them. I just needed prayer from this certain person. So I got up, I called a taxi, I rolled up to church, still completely drunk from trying to forget everything that had gone on. And this person wasn't there. I expected him to be. You know, he's always been there. He was always there when I needed him, but he wasn't there today. He didn't know that I was going to see him, but he wasn't there. And that memory sticks with me. That memory reminds me, actually, where possible, I do need to go to church on Sundays. Do you know? What if on Sunday morning someone comes to church looking desperately for you? For you. They need to talk to you in particular. They need prayer from you. They want to ask you a question. They're struggling. They need you. Or even they've got a word for you. Do you know? And you miss out. And you're not here. It's the same reason why me and Lydia, whenever we've got a youth session, we are there for the youth. If they need us, we need to be there. If we're not, how can they rely? And it's the same thing for us coming to church. You know, there are Christians and even maybe people here that know a lot about God. They know a lot about faith. They may feel that sermons, even this sermon, isn't for them. It doesn't benefit them. And they get more from being at home listening to a sermon on telly. That's great. I get a lot from listening to different sermons. It's not just about that. It's not just about coming to hear the sermon, coming for the worship. So it's also about coming to set up. It's coming for the prayer team. It's being there for people that come through those doors that need people like you. See, serving is a key point in Christianity. It really is a key point. Jesus knew all there was to know about God. At his time, Jesus was the leading expert. He was God. You know, he's part of the heart of the Trinity. Jesus knew everything. But he was there for fellowship. I can't think of a story, it might be, when someone said, go and get Jesus, we need him. And no one had a clue where he was. We don't have chapters and chapters about people looking under the table for Jesus and went to Bethlehem and wherever and couldn't find him. They knew where he was. He was there when people needed him. He was there for prayer. He was there for conversations, you know. And that's what we need to be. But equally so, it's not all give, give, give. I'm sitting here kind of maybe knocking you down a bit. You need to come to church to be there for everyone else. Don't get anything from it from yourself. No, that's not true. It's not all give, give, give. We may feel like that sometimes, but it's not. Do you remember the last time you didn't come to church for any reason? And then you saw someone from church a week or two later. They said, oh, church was amazing last Sunday. Worship was great. The sermon was great. People come to faith. This happened that had never happened before. It was just amazing. You think, oh, I wish I didn't have a lie-in. You know, it happens. It's happened to me in the past. You know, it's happened to many people, I'm sure, that I know. Or even worse, when you've had a really rubbish week and you don't go to church and someone says, oh, you know that thing you've been struggling about? The talk was about that. Oh, I listened to it. No, it wasn't recorded. Do you know? You can miss out for yourself. And what if you never bother with any fellowship at all? What if? I had a circumstance recently with somebody. He said him and his girlfriend don't go to church anymore. That they do Bible studies and they pray together, so it's okay. I said to him, but you're limited then. to yours and her knowledge and what you can get out of a sermon that you listen to on telly. You're limited. You can't benefit from someone else's knowledge. That's at the, if you're at the same level as someone, you're doing a Bible study with them, you can't really, you can only get limited knowledge from someone with experience. If I had a Bible study with Lydia, we wouldn't get as much if we had a Bible study with Helen, with Phil, with Michael, with Katie. You know, we wouldn't get as much benefit from that because we're limited to our knowledge. So, you know, if you don't talk to others about it, you can't expand your knowledge. And this went on for a bit. I was talking to him. Every time I spoke to him, it's always, but I'm doing this. But we're doing this. See, the reason there was a but is because he was a Christian. He'd been part of a thriving church. And he knew something was missing in himself. He felt that there was something missing. There was something missing in his faith. So anyways, now they found a church. And they're a part of it. And sometimes it is just finding the right fellowship. The church he was in wasn't right for him at the time. And it took him a couple of months away. And then he found the right fellowship that he could thrive in. People that he could talk to. You know? And sometimes that's all you need. But he noticed that want. He noticed that hole in him. You know, if we left church, as part of Junction, there was quite a lot of opportunities for fellowship going on. You know, if we left Junction and didn't do any fellowship, you would fill a hole. You know, after as the weeks pass, you will fill a hole. You might still be doing your Bible studies and everything, but you would feel something missing. You know, it's nice for a while having Sunday off. You miss that fellowship with God's people. And this verse is great. I had two just because I like the verse. There's got no other reason for it. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Do I need to say any more? I will. You can't kick me off that easy. But, you know, all over the Bible, the prophets, the disciples, Jesus, would go somewhere. You know, they'd go anywhere, and they would teach. They'd go, they'd make fellowship, and they would teach. You know, if there wasn't a church somewhere, they would go to somewhere, convert people, and form a fellowship, essentially forming a church. That is what they would do. That's what they did. Because they knew the truth that iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. They knew that they couldn't just be alone. When they go somewhere, they need to form these fellowships to make people stronger, to make themselves stronger. You can give, 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 and still grow in that. They knew they'll grow stronger. They'll grow sharper if they're amongst others. This isn't me trying to make anyone feel guilty. If I have, you can come and give me a slap after. It's fine. It's just me saying how important it is to be in fellowship. It's so important. But also how important it is to meet with God. We can do that alone. Sometimes that is better. Sometimes you need to go by yourself and just pray and just say, God. That's why 24/7 prayer is so brilliant. Because you have that space with God. But how amazing is it when we're all here, we've all got our eyes closed worshipping, we're all together, you hear someone speak in tongues, someone comes to give a testimony, someone comes to do this, someone comes to do that. How much better is that? How amazing is that? If you're not part of a church, you miss out on all that experience. You miss out on other people's testimony, you miss out on praying together and sharing that excitement with other people, sharing the excitement of your faith. You know, witnessing the Spirit together. For me, there's no better feeling than that. This verse said, the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. We, together as a unit. So when we meet here, we are meeting as equals. No one is better than anybody. We're all equals. We are all children of God. It's basically like the family, all going around Dad's house for a roast dinner on a Sunday. You know, sharing stories about the week, highs, lows, sharing testimonies, being with each other, lifting up and edifying each other, all under the watchful eye of our Father who loves us. That is what church is. That's the importance of coming to church. It's being together. Would you not go if your family were meeting up around Dad's house for dinner? Would you not go to see your family and catch up with them? And so, quite like for you to think of a Christian, maybe someone that is a Christian that maybe did go to church and doesn't go to church, or doesn't go to church for whatever reason. Maybe try and invite them to a fellowship, to experience in fellowship. You know, to witness the full glory of God, to witness what He has for them. you know, by being among his people. It is hard sometimes to have conversations with people like that and try and explain to them. You know, I've had many conversations with no avail at all. You don't get anywhere sometimes. But it's them who misses out on this. You know, and it's our job to kind of tell them, at least encourage them, you know. If we really love them, she'd tell them, you know. Conversations like this with my mum all the time. She doesn't come. She's a Christian. She doesn't come to church. But I'll keep, not necessarily nagging her, sometimes I do, you know, because I love her. And we all have somebody like that that we love and that misses out. So pray for them. Pray with them. Be in fellowship with them by yourself. It's a start. But just start, try to encourage them. And also thinking yourselves why you go to church. Do you come to church for this fellowship? Do you come to church to share in stories with people? Do you come to church because it's what you do on a Sunday? Are you kind of a bit separate? Maybe try to get involved in the fellowship of the things that go on, you know, and just really think we are all part of the body of Christ, and even elbows are important. Now, everybody's important, has a part of the body of Christ. Sometimes we don't know what our part is, but through fellowship with others, someone might tell you. You won't work that out by yourself. You know, God started this at the beginning with the Trinity as a community. So all we need to do really is try and keep it alive. You know, it's so important. So I kind of, that's what I've really got to say. So I'd quite like to close in prayer. So I thank you for this picture. You know, I thank you that you went to the cross for us, Lord, and that you don't necessarily have to go to church to be a Christian for all those people that can't make it, Lord Jesus, and for some reason can't go. But also thank you for the picture of fellowship, Lord Jesus. Even in your dying moments, you was in fellowship with that man. Your picture of fellowship. And I just thank you that we can all be here together, Lord Jesus, as children of God, as equals in your name. And I pray that we all look for ways to have fellowship with people throughout the week. If we don't know what part of the body we are, Lord Jesus, that you will talk to us, talk to others for us, so that we can work that out and expand on that, Lord Jesus. Just be with us, encourage us to speak to people that don't come to church, that are Christians, or even aren't Christians, Lord Jesus, and give us the strength to speak to those people. And I just pray that you'll be with us as this week goes on, Lord Jesus, that you will really help us be around people that sharpen us. Help us to be in good situations, good positions, Lord Jesus, and just let us enjoy the week and to get back here safe again next week, Lord. Amen.